Now Monitor brings you Meet the Press, the prize-winning interview program produced by Lawrence E. Spivak. Four of America's top news reporters are ready for this spontaneous, unrehearsed conference. Here's the moderator of Meet the Press, Ned Brooks.
Welcome once again to Meet the Press. Our guest today is the governor of Pennsylvania, Mr. David Lawrence. For more than a quarter of a century, Governor Lawrence has been a key force in the Democratic Party. He has played a major role in the selection of Democratic presidential nominees since the days of Franklin Roosevelt. He has been held in high esteem not only by the inner circle of the Democratic Party, but also by the voters in his city and his state. In 1946, he was made mayor of Pittsburgh. He was reelected three times, which is a record. In 1957, the U.S. Conference of Mayors gave Mr. Lawrence its Distinguished Service Award for outstanding contributions to his city, his state, and his nation. In 1958, he was drafted to run for governor, and he became the first man of the Roman Catholic faith ever elected to serve in that office in Pennsylvania. Few men in the Democratic Party will have a more powerful voice at the 1960 convention. And now seated around the press table, ready to interview Governor Lawrence, are John Steele of Time and Life magazines, May Craig of the Portland, Maine Press Herald, Robert Roth of the Philadelphia Bulletin, and Jack Bell of the Associated Press. Our regular panel member, Lawrence E. Spivak, will be back with us next week. Now, Governor Lawrence, if you're ready, sir, we'll start the questions with Mr. Bell.
Governor, in 1952 and 1956, you were a strong supporter of Adlai Stevenson. What do you think of Stevenson's chances in 1960, and would you be for him for the nomination?
I could very well be for him because I believe he's the ablest man we have in either party from the standpoint of filling the office of president. The obstacle to Stevenson, as we all know at the moment, is the fact that he's been beaten twice and the fear among the political leaders that we might be backing a losing horse in the third race. So that is the greatest obstacle he has. By no means do I think he's in any sense out of the running.
If he is in the running, then is there a possibility you may take the Pennsylvania delegation to the convention in favor of Stevenson, pledged to him, or supporting him behind the scenes?
The leadership of the party in Pennsylvania at the moment is what we call wide open on this whole question. We have had in Pennsylvania up until now, Jack Kennedy was in Philadelphia in December. We've had Stuart Symington at Philadelphia. Bob Miner's been in Bucks and Crawford County. Lyndon Johnson spoke at Harrisburg. Hubert Humphreys has spoken at York. So you can see we've pretty well covered the field, and I'm sure that's the attitude the Pennsylvania leadership will take up until next year.
Governor, I assume you take party polls in Pennsylvania to determine the various issues and candidates and so forth. What do these polls show as far as popularity is concerned among the various Democratic presidential aspirants that you've just named?
We've taken no polls up until this time. Of course, we're now interested in Pennsylvania mostly in the local elections. And see, in our state, we have a very good law. In the odd numbered years, we elect local officers, mayors, county commissioners, local judges, and various row officers in the courthouse. And in even numbered years, we elect the governor and the state offices and federal offices. So that in the odd numbered year with which this is, we're thinking mostly of the local officials.
Well, Governor, would Kennedy's Catholicism hurt him politically in Pennsylvania?
I don't think it will. That is a question, of course, that's very difficult to analyze because it hits differently at different times. You take in the last election, I feel it hurt me in some of the rural areas, whereas I think it helped me in others. Now, you immediately asked me the question following that, I'm sure. Well, why didn't it hurt Mike DeSalle in Ohio and Pat Brown in California, where they won by overwhelming majorities? I barely skimmed through in Pennsylvania with 75 or 76,000. And we lost the senator candidate. But out in those states, they had an overpowering issue. The right to work law. And I believe if Kennedy has some issue that will transcend the question of his religion and other personal matters, that would in a great measure help him. But if the people go in and are just voting a question of religion, he might be in some difficulty.
Mr. Roth.
Governor, in connection with that, as I recall it, you won by about 75,000 because of a great majority that you got in Philadelphia. In the rest of the state, they didn't do well for you, and you came to Philadelphia about 100,000 behind. Now, you were well known. You had a good record. If religion was not a factor in that campaign, how would you account for what was a comparatively poor showing, or at least a showing poorer than most of your supporters expected?
I think you missed my answer to the previous question. I said I felt it did affect me in the upstate area of Pennsylvania. It affected me adversely in some respects, but I think it helped me in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Scranton in the urban areas. But as I say, I'm concerned about, well, why didn't it help hurt Mike DeSalle over in Ohio, where he won by 400,000, a tremendous majority, in face of the fact that he lost by 400,000 2 years before. But I believe that it began to click, the bigotry, in the last few days of the campaign. At least our leaders in some of the rural counties have indicated that.
Well, Governor, you and some other party leaders in other parts of the country who happen also to be Catholics are reportedly reluctant to see Kennedy nominated because they fear that a Catholic cannot be elected and damage to the party resulting. Do I understand then that is not true as far as you are concerned?
That is not true as far as I am concerned. Now, I don't want to just dismiss that with the idea that I don't think it may enter, because it at certain times it does, depending on a lot of other circumstances. If Kennedy went into the fight with some major issue that the people were voting on, like if you voted for Kennedy, you were for that. Say, like the right to work law in the California and Ohio fights last year. Then they forget about that question. At least it's submerged or subordinated to the issue.
Mrs. Craig.
Governor, you have sent a personal invitation to Mr. Khrushchev to visit Pennsylvania, have you not?
That's right.
Yes. Have you had a reply?
Not as yet.
The president said at
I doubt, Miss Craig, whether he's received it as yet.
The president said at press conference that he would like Mr. Khrushchev to visit Levittown, which is near the Fellis Steelworks. Do you know anything about that? Did you suggest it?
No, I didn't. We invited him to an athletic program in Harrisburg that is being promoted by the Harrisburg Patriot News.
Do you
I'd like him to see some American athletes in action here and see the American people in the stands and so forth, to just see how the people of central Pennsylvania, how they dress and how they come to these affairs in automobiles and so forth. And I'd like them to carry back the impression in his mind of our American standard and our American way of life, which is so far superior to other parts of the world.
Do you think it would be good or bad for Mr. Khrushchev to see the steel strike in action, if it is still going on, to see a closed mill and picketing unions?
Well, I think that's part of the American way of life. That's a natural thing, to have strikes, that the American worker has a right to strike. I doubt in Russia if he has. and it might be a good thing for him to see, although I hope the strike is over long before he comes here.
Governor, you told the American Legion in a recent speech that the communists appear to be seeking a surrender on the installment plan. Do you regard this exchange of visits between Khrushchev and the president as an installment of surrender, or what do you hope might come out of it?
Well, what I hope will come out of it is this. I have my doubts about what Kozlov and McCoyan reported back. I'm sure they saw things in America that must have impressed them. But whether or not they went back and told the people the truth is the question. But I think the importance of these visits, of McCoyan, of Kozlov, and now of Khrushchev, is that they will see for themselves just what is happening here. They will see the potential of America, militarily, industrially, economically, and so forth. And they'll not fool themselves. They'll not lie to themselves. And I think when they see that, they see the happiness of the American people, when they'll see our standard of living and so forth, when they'll see our military strength and our industrial potential here, it'll be fixed in their minds. So they will go slow in any thought of a hot war.
Governor, Mr. Steele.
Governor, I want to return to politics for a moment. Unlike most other states, you've had almost all of the potential candidates already in your state, as you've told us, and you know your state perhaps as no other governor does. Which of those candidates would run best in Pennsylvania?
Well, I don't like to answer that question much as I would like to answer the question. I'm fearful that if I did, I would give an indication of who I might be for.
Well, you might not necessarily be for the man who ran strongest, who, as of today...
That is very true. It would be construed as such. I had an interview recently with a national correspondent, and that's what he came up with, an idea that we were for this certain man, because I just analyzed the picture.
Well, here you can't be misunderstood, sir. Would you venture a guess as to who today might run strongest of all these candidates?
I would not venture a guess.
Well, let me ask you another question then, sir.
That's in self-protection.
You are well protected. Governor Stevenson has said that he would not be a candidate for nomination again. Do you foresee the possibility of a draft? He wrote some years ago that no man could withstand an honest draft if there was one. Do you see such a possibility?
Well, there is always that possibility, and I agree with his theory that no American could withstand a draft if the convention rose up and called upon any American. He would certainly not be a patriot if he didn't reply affirmatively.
I
was one of those in 52 who tried to smoke him out long before the convention and up until the last minute. And if there ever was an honest draft in the history of American politics or any other politics, it was that. Because through my friend Jack Arvey and others close to him, we tried our best to get just some inkling from him. But never did we get a chirp of any kind.
Do you expect to try to smoke him out again when he returns from Europe in a few weeks?
I don't know. We're going to analyze this picture generally in Pennsylvania up until next year and then do the thing that we feel is the best for the party and best for the country.
Governor, on another political question, you have never been regarded generally, perhaps in error, as a great admirer of Paul Butler, the Democratic National Chairman. I wonder if you expect a move when the National Committee meets in next month, in a few weeks, to replace Mr. Butler with another National Chairman.
I doubt very much if there will be, although I see he's in hot water now with the boys out in Los Angeles. I try to tell him at the National Committee meeting that selected Los Angeles, it was a mistake to go out there because 80% of the delegates will be east of the Rocky Mountains. It's going to be a great expense on our people to go out there, particularly in Pennsylvania, where we have a lot of delegates who are working people, can't afford the cost of going away out there. I argued with them the disadvantage it was from the standpoint of press, television, radio, and getting the story across to the people. And I also, Mrs. Miller, my colleague on the National Committee, smoked out, mentioned the fact that we didn't want to get into smog-filled rooms as related to smoke-filled rooms of the past, and all of those many things. And now I'm fearful he's reaping the whirlwind of that out in Los Angeles.
Do you think the convention actually will be held in Los Angeles?
I don't know. I don't see how they can get out of doing that. I imagine Governor Brown will probably move into the picture and correct it. If Butler was offering 5,000 seats to Ed Polley and to the national committeemen from out there, I can see very readily why they would go the limit to bring the convention there, because if we had 5,000 seats for Philadelphia, we would have doubled our offer.
It sounds as though you think Governor Brown will take over the convention. Is that correct, sir?
Well, I have an idea that if this problem was up to me in Pennsylvania, we had the same problem there, as the governor and party leader, I think I would move in to try to correct the situation.
Governor, at the convention, some of the leaders of your party are talking about putting up a fight for a very strong civil rights plank in the platform. And, of course, the Southerners will resist any such move. How do you think that is all going to resolve itself? Will there be a walkout by the Southerners?
Well, I don't know. Of course, they're the best to answer that question. I have no idea what they'll do. They did walk out at Philadelphia, and we went on to win the election. Harry Truman didn't back up an inch on the question, and the people of this country rallied behind him and elected him. And I'm hopeful the party will stand solid in this coming campaign.
You're for a strong plank?
Yes, I'm for a strong civil rights plank. I don't think there should be any question about it.
Mr. Bell.
Well, in that connection, Governor, if a strong civil rights plank threatened to take the South out of the party, you'd still want the strong plank, would you? In other words, you'd prefer the South take a walk, would you?
That's right. I don't think we ought to quibble on any issue. I think the party ought to be forthright and stand out for the things they believed in. That's what we did when we came into power in 32. There were a lot of people then quibbling about prohibition and things of that kind, and I think it was the forthright attitude of Franklin Roosevelt that put the party back into power. I think it was the forthright position of Harry Truman in 48 that kept us in power.
You think a Democrat in 60 then could duplicate Truman's successful effort in 48 and win without the solid South?
I very definitely do, although I don't welcome such a situation. There's a lot of very good Democrats in the South who are good friends of mine and been good friends of the party, who are 100% for the party outside of this particular item.
I may switch to another angle, Governor. From your vantage point outside of Washington, how well do you think the Democrats in Congress are doing at this point under the leadership of Rayburn and Johnson? They just seem to have been set back on their heels by vetoes on these various bills. What is your reaction to the situation that now...
Well, I think Lyndon Johnson and Rayburn are doing a good job. They have a difficult job to do because we have a party that is made up of various types of people. We have this constant question of civil rights bothering us from the South. But I think Lyndon Johnson has done a superb job as floor leader. I think he's one of the great floor leaders of all times. I don't agree with National Chairman Butler and his attitude toward the leadership of the party. I think they're doing everything they can humanly do to keep the party together and to work out a party program.
Governor, then do you disagree with Senator Joe Clark from your own state, who has said in the past that a minority of Democrats from one-party states dictates congressional policy and tries to temporize to meet the demands of the president?
I do disagree with him. I give him the right to his opinion, and of course I have the right to my opinion. I think that they're doing a job. It isn't a job that might be entirely satisfactory to Senator Clark all the time or to me all the time.
Do you think a satisfactory record will be forthcoming from this Congress?
I haven't any question about it that they'll come up with a very satisfactory record, one that we can go before the people with and be very proud of and can go out and fight for.
Mrs. Craig, excuse me.
Governor, do you want the president to interfere now or when in the steel strike?
Well, I'm anxious, of course, as a Pennsylvanian, to get the strike settled. We're in Pennsylvania are hit harder than any other state because we have more steel mills and more steel workers out of work. And, of course, the reflected unemployment caused by the steel strike in related industries. And I'm anxious that anything that possible that could be done. I think that where the president made his mistake was that he didn't have the leaders of both industry and the union in before the men went out on the street. Once they hit the bricks, as they call it, it's a much more difficult thing to settle.
The steel industry seems to be making big profits. Do you think that a wage increase necessarily means a price increase?
Well, I don't think it should, because I think the big mistake was made was when the steel industry put on the last increase in the price of a ton of steel. In my opinion, that was a mistake. And in the present picture, they show vast profits. And then if they come on now with a raise in salary and raise it again, I think it all has a bad effect. In my opinion, they could absorb a raise in wages for the steel worker with the last raise that they put on the price of steel.
Well, Governor, why is not a price cut the answer for all of us?
Well, that is one of the answers. I believe if they cut the price of steel, that might work the problem out.
Mr. Bell.
Governor, what's the big issue for 1960 as you see it now? The Republicans apparently are going to run on peace and prosperity. Do you have prosperity in Pennsylvania? Can they win in Pennsylvania?
Well, they can't win so well in Pennsylvania in a lot of the distressed areas. You see, Mr. Bell, we have a number of areas in Pennsylvania. To be specific, the anthracite coal region and in the railroad areas where we have depressed areas where even with prosperity on, those sections suffer. That's why we've been after the Congress and the administration to do something to help these distressed areas. These people are helping themselves immeasurably. They're doing a great job on the local level. A lot of our local bankers in the anthracite region are loaning money to companies to come in there. These citizens are forming associations, industrial development authorities and so forth, and putting their own money in. And we think they ought to have some help from the federal government to help bring that about.
Mr. Roth.
In connection with the troubles of Pennsylvania, Governor, the legislature is about to pass, with your approval, a 4% sales tax, which will make the tax in Pennsylvania higher than anywhere else in the country except in one state. Do you think that in a great industrial state that high sales taxes, which theoretically at least fall hardest on the lowest income group, is a good method of financing?
I've always been opposed to a sales tax, but that was back in the period before this tremendous inflation we have. And the cost of government has gone to the place it has. The cost of wages and materiel is so high that state budgets are out of whack everywhere. And I want to correct a little bit your reference to the sales tax. While it's true the state of Washington has a 4% and is the only other one, I understand there's a couple of other states where the sales tax of the state and the local community comes up to 4%. So there are other places.
Mrs. Craig.
Governor, you want to balance your budget even at the cost of new taxes, but you're down here asking for public housing, which the president says will unbalance his budget.
That's the president's budget. I'm worrying about my budget. If I was a congressman, I'd be worrying about the federal budget. But they have means of getting money here, and we're pouring money out of Pennsylvania into Washington in greater amounts probably than any other state in the Union except New York. And we feel that we're certainly entitled to a fair share of it coming back there to help us in our dilemma.
But you still want to have to pay more taxes by unbalancing the federal budget?
The more
federal spending means more from Pennsylvania, doesn't it?
Sure, sure.
Then why are you for it?
Well, I'm for it because it's absolutely essential for us to bring it about.
Governor, Mr. Steele.
Governor, you
declined to predict who the Democratic nominee would be or who'd make the strongest race. Now, how about the other side of the picture? What about the Republican race?
I hope it'll be Nixon.
Well, who do you think it will be?
Nixon.
Well, why do you hope it will be Nixon?
Because I think we can beat him easier than some of the others.
Well, isn't that a rather... are you encouraging Nixon's candidacy? They're liable not to take your advice.
Well, I think they will. I think they've got it all set for him right now. Why all this display that's going on abroad here at football games? He was out to Pittsburgh to the All-Star baseball game. Nobody has ever gotten a bigger build-up than he's getting.
Do you think his trip to Moscow was part of that campaign?
Absolutely.
What about the Rockefeller business? He's almost a neighboring state of yours.
Well, I think Rockefeller would be a popular candidate. He showed that in New York, and I think he has a lot of vote-getting qualities that I would be a little bit concerned about.
Mr. Bell.
Who among the Democrats could beat Rockefeller?
I think any of them.
And could any of them also beat Nixon?
Right. The country is Democratic, in my opinion. And any of these candidates are strong candidates that we have. They will be different types of candidates, of course, and would appeal differently to people. But I believe, as shown by the congressional elections last year and the congressional elections of several years, that the strength of the Republican Party has been wrapped up in President Eisenhower and his popularity as a soldier. And I don't think that rubs off onto anybody in the Republican Party. I think Adlai Stevenson would have licked anybody else other than Eisenhower in either of those elections.
Wouldn't you like to give him a chance to try it in 1960 then?
Me personally? Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you're again getting me around to making a statement as to who I'm for and who I'd like. Yes, I'd like to be for Stevenson or any one of the others. To defeat the Republican.
Governor, you're an awful good politician.
Thank you.
For Stevenson or anybody else.
And nobody questions you're an awfully good newspaper man either.
Mrs. Craig.
Do you think Khrushchev should be invited to address Congress, and will you recommend that to your Pennsylvania delegation?
Well, I don't know anything about that. I don't want to go into the details. It's a national matter. It's a matter of...
I think at that point I'm going to have to interrupt anyway, Governor. Thank you very much, Governor Lawrence, for being with us.
And Monitor's thanks added to that to Pennsylvania Governor David L. Lawrence and members of the panel for a stimulating and enlightening half-hour Meet the Press produced by Lawrence Spivak. And now this word, if we may. It's difficult to imagine a nation as wealthy as ours facing a food shortage even for a limited time. But stop and think just a moment how much our food supply depends on our transportation and highway systems.